This is message 3 of the conference, The Church in Bangkok, October 2013. Verses are Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9.
But life is there to save us. Especially, life is there to save us from ourself, our flesh, our fallen condition. Do not think there's no problem. The past 40 years, for the past 40 years, there's been many problems in the churches. Do not think that you and I have no problems. In my wildest dreams, I would never have dreamt that the church could fall into such a condition. Even in my worst nightmare, I would not have dreamt that the church would fall into such a condition. Why would the church fall into such a condition? I could not imagine it. At first, I thought I was in paradise. Oh, the church is so glorious. I was very excited. But today, when I see how many of the churches have fallen into such a situation, I have a fear in me. I have the fear that we also, if we're not watchful, and if we are not saved by the Lord, and you and I have not changed, we are still the same old we. Sooner or later, there will be problems. We would also change for the worse. So, from the onset of the Song of Ascent, it shows us that our natural man is wild. It's dark, it's black, it's in darkness. We still have a lot of filthy things within us, unclean things, full of lies, deceit. And there's also a lot of leaven within us. Isn't there, don't you have malice in you? And you have pride in you? And you think that you are something, you're someone, and you want to have a position. And you want to have money, or greed, covetous. There are many things hidden within you that you cannot see. You truly cannot see. Recently, when I was in the south of Thailand, a sister of a brother testified that how this brother looked so healthy outwardly, but inwardly, his arteries were all plugged up, and he didn't even realize it. Until one evening that he felt some pain in the chest, felt like he had a heavy burden in him. He felt that, oh, something wrong, he needs to go see the doctor. And after the doctors examined him, they didn't let him go home. If you still want to go home, you might not have enough time. They immediately took care of the condition. Tell me, how do you know your inward condition? The Bible tells us that man's heart is full of deceit. In the end, you're not deceiving others, but you're deceiving yourself. If the Lord has mercy on you, he will still discipline you. If the Lord does not chasten you, then you are really in trouble. If the Lord doesn't care for you, that means he cannot control you anymore. So later on, he will judge you. Many times I tell the Lord, I'd rather be disciplined by you today. You can spank me. However you want to discipline me, it's fine with me. But you have to do it today. Because there's still grace today. And there's still mercy. There's still an opportunity to repent. If we do not repent, then the Lord will let us go. And that will be a pathetic thing. Oh, Lord Jesus, in the church, our natural man, our temper, our habits, they are hard to change. Oftentimes, we get into trouble. We get into trouble. We cause problems. So, brothers and sisters, do not look down on Psalm 120. Then you would say, Lord, you have to come save me. Who can change you? Truly so. Who can change me? Who can change you? The creator of heaven and earth. No other person has any way. For many years, while I was young, I thought I could help to change people. In the end, I did not dare to change people. Because even for me to change myself, it's really hard. So I told the Lord, Lord, I give up. I'll let you come change me. First, Lord, you work in me. I need your salvation. Today, if I would call on the name of the Lord, it's because I truly need him. I need the Lord to come save me. Now, why should he save me? Why should he save you? What for? For your personal spirituality? Is it for you? What for? That's why the first group of the three psalms, the third psalm in the first group, leads us to Jerusalem. If you have not experienced the salvation, and the Lord has no way to change you, for many years, having been in the church for many years, you're still the same old you. Besides, you know, brothers and sisters, if you have not experienced this salvation, the older you get, the worse it gets. Don't think that it doesn't matter. You're still the same old you. No. The older you get, the worse you get. In the end, the problems you cause get even greater. And the influence you have on the church is even worse. If you and I would still be living in the natural self, in the wild natural man, tell me, how can Jerusalem be built up? You build it up with teachings? 40-some years ago, I've already seen that teachings cannot build up the church. I think here in the church, we've heard more teachings than anybody else elsewhere. If teachings can change us, then Christians would be the best people in this world today. The Pharisees would be the best people. That's why you have to come to the third psalm of the Song of Ascents. It's the last psalm of the first group. It brings you to Jerusalem. Do you love Jerusalem? Amen. Do you like it? If people would tell you, let's go to the meeting, whether it be a home meeting, or the Lord's Day meeting, or a prayer meeting, do you like it? If a brother tells you, oh brother, let's the two or three of us get together to pray, how about it? Immediately you will look at your watch and say, oh, I have no time. If you're not praying, you don't look at the time. But once you want to pray, you look at the time. It's strange. If you're at home, your wife would tell you, oh, Dayo, let's come together to pray. Would you immediately drop everything you're doing? When you hear something like this, you're very happy. Fine, let's pray. Would you be like that? You drop everything? You would drop everything? When we come to this third psalm, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I rejoiced when they said that to me. I was glad. Do we have such a condition? Do you like meetings? Do you like them? What do you like? Why do you like meetings so much? What do you like about the meetings you come to? Oh, Lord Jesus. Today, the Lord opened our eyes to show us that His church is so precious. Because when we go over there to meet, what do? We come to meet our King, our Lord. Because the Lord is there. Why do you go there? Do you go there to listen to some messages? What do you do when you go there? You go there because you want to meet a glorious God. Why else do you go? You go there to listen to some messages? The Lord said when two or three of you gather together, He would be in your midst. He would be in our midst, right? You go there to meet our Lord. You know, God's people, when God's people hears this, you know, they would jump up. We should be jumping up, rejoicing in our hearts, because the church is the most important thing in the universe. This is what God wants again. The church is too important. But if you have not experienced His salvation, if not been saved. That doesn't mean that salvation, that you will not go to hell. But your soul has not been saved. There's no way for Jerusalem to be built. In the end, people don't even like to come to meetings. They are scared of going to Jerusalem to the meetings. I know many people today who are stumbled. When you talk about the church, their hairs would stand up. Don't talk to me about the church. It's the exact opposite of Psalm 122. Today we love the church. Do you love the church? If you love the church, then you have to be saved. You have to change. If you don't change, I don't believe you love the church. Because if you don't change and I don't change, how can the church be built up? How did the psalmist describe it here? Jerusalem is built as a city that is closely compacted together. It's like a city that's closely compacted together. Just like what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, that the body of Christ is made of all the members of his body, fitly joined together. It's not all dispersed. If they like to come, they come. If they don't like to come, they don't show up. If I get some benefits of some advantage, I'll come. If I don't get anything, I don't come. It's not like this. The word building is not a simple thing. Do you think that to be built up is a simple thing? You have to be fitly joined together. A body has to be fitly joined together. Look at all the members in our body. They move in such a good way. If they're not fitly joined together, then you'll have pain in your knee and you can't move. Is your church like this? When you come to serve, oh, it's very smooth. Very smooth. Not much friction there. The joints are all well lubricated. Very smooth. No arthritis. 关节炎. 关节炎. No arthritis. 关节炎. Do you have arthritis in the church? Especially when you need to coordinate. Oh, there's a lot of pain. If you want to move, there's a lot of pain. There's quarreling. Things have to be done my way. And you say it has to be done in your way. It becomes very unpleasant. And then in the end, you don't want to serve anymore. You just go do your own thing. Or you do your thing and I do my thing. Is that the kind of service? If the church is like this, what should you do? Is it fitly joined together? Is Jerusalem like this? But what should be done? That is why the first psalm and the second psalm in this group are very important. The peace is very important, right? Are you a person who loves peace? In Psalm 120 it says, I am for peace. I'm a person who loves peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Jerusalem is a place of peace. The church should be a place of peace. You have to be in the spirit. You should be a peaceful person. You don't like to fight. You don't like to quarrel. So what if you're right? If the peace is gone and you start arguing, right? Why are you not willing to let the others have their way? Why do you have to insist that I am right and you are wrong? That is why the most important thing in Jerusalem, in the church, is the peace. But this peace has to come from within you. Our flesh does not know how to have peace with one another. The flesh cannot make peace. The flesh likes to fight. Only the Lord Jesus can come save you. So when we come to Psalm 122, when Jerusalem appears, then things could be, the members could be fitly joined together. That's how the church should be. If after many years we still cannot make it, then we're really pathetic. Even the Lord doesn't have a way. Truly so. You don't listen to Him. You do not look up to Him, lift up your eyes to Him and say, Lord, come help me. You don't have the need. You feel that you're okay. You can do it. If this is the case, then what should we do? Lord Jesus. Here it says, Jerusalem is built at a city that is compact together. Where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. We have to go up there. Today, we're in the house of the Lord. This is not a small thing. Thank the Lord. Our feet are not standing outside. Our feet are standing within the gates. Perhaps you do not feel it, that you are so blessed. Oftentimes I thought, Lord, we are not worthy that we are still in your house today, and that we are still want to be your true testimony of the church. This is what God had ordained in the Old Testament age. Three times a year, You have to go there. You must go. If you do not go, you would be cut off. So nobody dared not to go. Everybody went. This was what God ordained to the people of Israel. So here it is according to this is what God had ordained. This is what NIV says. It's not the building of the church is not that if you like it, you do it. If you don't like it, you don't do it. You have no choice. As a Christian, you have no choice. In those days, if you were an Israelite, if you're a member of a tribe of Israel, you belong to one tribe. You had to go. You cannot stay away. If you're a male, you had to go. There's no way for you not to go. This is what God had ordained. Did you not hear the Lord Jesus say, I will build my church? It's not that you have to build his church. It's the Lord who wants to build his church. The church is for him. It's not however you like it to be. In your home, you can do whatever you please. But in the house of God, it's what God wants to build. It's his city. He is the head. He is here. So you and I do not have a choice today. Since we don't have a choice, you have to give, you have to offer yourself up to him. So all the tribes had to go up. They dared not to go. Do you dare not to go? Oh Lord, open our eyes. All of us do not have the choice. What do we go there for? What do we do? To praise the name of the Lord. We come together here to glorify the Lord, to praise the Lord, to offer up our praises to him. But if you don't have any experience of him, what are you going to praise? Right? In your daily living, you do not praise him. And Sunday morning, then you come to praise him? Tell me, is that praise good? I think the Lord would not like it. We come together for him, not for you. We come together to praise the name of the Lord. And then here it says, it says, for thrones are set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. Our Lord is our David today. He is our king. He's the head over all things here. He's the most glorious one. He's the unique one that is being lifted up. We all come together because of him. When you come here, don't come here for yourself. There's so many places in Bangkok. If you want to be for yourself, you can go there. But you should never be here just for yourself. You have to fear the Lord, because His throne is here. Besides, it's a judgment seat. Do you not fear God? Many people do not fear God, although they believe in the Lord. I feel that many brothers do not fear God. If we do fear God, we would not fall into such a condition today. If you don't fear, then you're very loose. If a church is built up and the members are fitly joined together, then it should be one that knows the head, Christ. According to the teaching of the Bible, if we have not grown into the head, which is Christ, and out of this, and we come out of this head, it's out from Him that the whole body could be fitly joined together. If we are not joined to this head who is Christ, there's no way for us to be fitly joined together. There's no way. If my head is not joined to this head, that the tendons are broken, or the nerves are broken, and I have no feeling. Do you think that you can be fitly joined? There's no way. So there's judgment here. Do not think that there's no judgment in the church. The Lord will not allow you to be loose or do as you please in His church, in His house. Today, if the church is truly God's house, here we're singing Jerusalem, Jerusalem. But is there the judgment seat in the midst? Or we all can be very loose here? Besides, the judge is not you and it's not me, but it's our Lord. It's our Lord who is the judge. This is the throne of the house of David. It's too glorious. Besides, it's awesome. In the house of David, do you dare to be loose? Our Lord is seated on the throne. He is a Christ who is enthroned. Ephesians chapter 1 says that He is a head over all things. Do we have such a condition in the church? Have we seen such a throne in the church? Thank the Lord. And then He also said, pray for peace of Jerusalem. Peace. This peace is a peace among us. The Chinese word for peace does not really bring out the meaning. If we're not in harmony, do you think there could be peace? But if you're a person without any feeling, you've offended so many people and yet you still feel very peaceful. Because you're without feeling. If I give you a big scolding, I feel very much at peace. If I pick a fight, I still feel very peaceful. So the word peace here is not just peace, but there's peace with one another, at peace with one another. When you have to cause Jerusalem, the church life, to be at peace with one another. If you're not at peace with one another, it's very hard. I think you all have experienced this. Oh, where we fight with one another and yet we sit together in one meeting. There's no way for you to describe it. How can there be peace? Everyone hopes to be able to go home very quickly. That is not Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city of peace, a city that is in harmony. If there is fighting here and there is division, you better change your name. It should not be called Jerusalem. The Salem means peace, then you have to call it Jeru fighting. It's a city of fighting. Don't call it Jerusalem because it's shameful. You should change your name. Otherwise, it would bring shame to the Lord's name. People would come and take a look at us. Is this the house of God? They don't even dare to come. Even we ourselves don't dare to come anymore. If you come, you should rejoice. This is what Psalm 122 says. Pray for peace and harmony of Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, have you prayed and asked in this way? Have you? Have you? In your various churches, the leading brothers, the responsible brothers, have you prayed daily? Oh, are you just judging people every day and complaining, criticizing? That one is no good. This is not good. That one is wrong. I'm the best. I am the best. Of course, if everybody is no good, then I am the best. I don't even have to say it. People would, it's understood. You have not seen that you are no good, but you only see that the others are no good. Can there be peace and harmony in this way, especially as responsible brothers? And brothers and sisters who have been in the church for many years, you have to pray, oh Lord, that there would be peace and harmony in your church. That the members could be fitly joined together. And that could be truly oneness. We in you and you in us. Do not forget our conference in July, right? We have to be perfected into one. This is what the Lord wants to do. Until we are all perfected into one. Do we have such a condition? Sandy, brother, amen? He can't say the amen. It doesn't mean to say that there's absolutely nothing, but it's not sufficient. It's not just a little bit of oneness, but the prayer of the Lord Jesus is that we would be fully perfected into one. I feel that this is very meaningful. The Lord does not use teachings to make us one. But He uses prayer. He prays for us that we would be perfected into one. But if you're not in Him, although He is in you, but you are not in Him, there's no way. But if you have to be in Him, do you like it? Do you desire to be in Him? No. No, you desire to live your own self. Whatever you feel is right, you just force your way through. And everybody has to go along with you and listen to you and do according to what you say. Your heart is too narrow. Let the others have freedom, have liberty. We can't make it. It's I in you, the Lord Jesus said, and you in me. What does it mean to be in Him? To be in Him, Him means that you have to be limited by Him. You have to be constrained by Him. If I'm not limited by Him, then I just want to jump out of Him. That's why, brothers and sisters, pray much, pray well for the church. Just like the Lord Jesus is having supplications for the church. Lord, although we are very small in the place, may we have harmony and have peace with one another. That everyone can live together in peace, in harmony. That's why if you look at the Song of Ascent, when we come to Psalm 133, then that situation is there. The condition is there. The condition is not in Psalm 120, but it appears in Psalm 133. That's a climax. When brethren dwell together in unity, there's no conflict. Full of the Holy Spirit's anointing there. But here, it's not there yet. There's still a lot of problems. So brothers, if we don't ask of Him, what should we do? If you don't pray, can you force it? You may force it, but whatever you create is something false. Not real. If it's a fake, then it's even worse. You might as well be fighting with one another. You might as well be just fighting with one another. Because if you're fighting with one another, you will still say, oh, we truly can't make it. But if you come out with a fake, with a bogus thing, with a knockoff, you think that, oh, we made it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. You have to love the church. You have to love the church. Do you love the church? If you love the church, you will not do anything to harm the church. The church is too precious. Would you harm your own body? Would you just cut up your own thumb? Would you? No. Why not? It's painful. It's really painful. It's really painful. Don't you feel the pain when you hurt the brothers and sisters? And you're not in harmony, not at peace? Do you feel the pain? Oh, Lord Jesus. May they prosper who love you. You have to truly love the church. Our Lord Jesus is one who loves the church. Christ loves the church. And he gave himself for her. Do you truly love the church? Then you have to deny yourself. To give your life. Do not hold on to your own life. Otherwise, the more you love the church, the more trouble there is. Because if you don't love the church, you don't care. But if you love the church, oh, and you're full of yourself and you want to get into everything. And the more you want to get into things, the worse it gets. Oh, I want to be in control of everything. I want to control you, and I want to manage this and that. Don't do that. It's through life. How, in what way did the Lord Jesus love the church? He gave his life for her. Even in 1 John, that's what it said. There's no greater love than this. That is to lay down your life for the brother. If you love the church, you will not damage, you will not hurt the brothers. You will not take advantage of the brothers and sisters. You will protect or treasure the brothers and sisters, and you would supply the brothers and sisters. You would feed them. You would bring them to the Lord, and that's good enough. Pray for all the saints. Do you really love the church? Do you pray for the church daily? You're not complaining about the brothers and sisters before the Lord, but you're praying for the brothers and sisters. Daily praying for the church. The more the problems, the more you pray. How about that? Don't keep thinking, oh, it's a headache. Why would you have a headache? If you pray, you won't have a headache. You give your headache to the Lord. You don't have to have your headache. Because you're not the head. Since you're not the head, how can you have a headache? If you want to be the head, then you get a headache. Since you're not the head, how can you ache there? You pray and leave the headache to the Lord. Otherwise, it's not good for you to have a headache. You have to learn. Don't get headaches. Let the Lord have a headache. But you have to bring everything before the Lord. Truly so. Pray. Pray. Be a person who is really praying and asking. May there be peace within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. We all need to have such a heart. Lord, may the church in Bangkok prosper as time goes on. Lek, have you prayed in such a way? Have you? Once a month? Or do you pray like this daily? Oh Lord, may the church in Bangkok truly become a glorious and prosperous church. Sunday, have you prayed in this way? Not enough? You have, but not enough. Yes. You have to pray daily. Lord, your churches. It's been so many years. Why is it not going onward, forward? Why is it not? Why are they not ascending? Didn't you say it's glory upon glory? If nobody prays, could there be glory upon glory? Brother, what's your name? Brother Lin's name is Huang Rong. It's a very good name. You have to say, Lord, I want to see the church bright and glorious. That's why the Lord gave you this such a name, meaning bright and glorious. It's very good. It reminds you that the church has to be full of light and full of glory. Hallelujah. When you see Brother Lim, you have to think of the church. Light, bright, and glorious. Be honest. You brothers, how often do you come together to pray for the church? To ask of the Lord. So pray and ask that the church in your locality would become a glorious church. That the church would prosper. Otherwise, how could the Lord come back? If nobody church, if nobody prays, then what should be done? At least you have to pray. Although we are useless, it's truly so. What can we do? But you have to pray. If the responsible brothers don't even have time to come together to pray, then what should be done? In the end, your business prospers, but the church is hopeless. There's no hope of glory for the church. Your profession is prospering, but the church is without hope. Your home prospers, but God's house is pitiful. Then what? Which house is more important? Is your house important, or is God's house important? When you come to Psalm 122, if you are being saved, if the Lord saves you and changes your person for the sake of His church, then you would pray for the church. May there be prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. thank and praise the Lord. When we come to this psalm, we should become one who loves the brethren, one who loves our companions. Today you're living in the church. Do not be for yourself. If you're just for yourself in the church, you have not ascended yet. You're still at the lower level. You're for yourself. Here it says, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. I hope that in the church, at least there's a group of brothers and sisters. Who have reached a point where they are just for the brothers and sisters. They're not there just for themselves. Besides, they live in the church for the brothers and sisters. If you grow in life, if you ascend, you went up a level. When you come to Psalm 122, hallelujah. It's not that the church can do something for you, but what you can do for the church. You are in the church not for your own profit, not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of the church, you would give up all things. In the previous two psalms, in Psalm 120 and 121, you're still for yourself. But gradually, you say that, oh, I'm here for the church. I'm here for the brothers and sisters. That's why I come. I'm here today. I'm not for myself. Amen. And because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. Will you seek good for yourself or for the church? The NIV uses prosperity. Do you want to get rich? Or would you want the church to prosper? The church has to prosper. You have to pray, seek prosperity for the church. Oh Lord, your church has to prosper, has to be filled with peace and harmony. And you will be blessed by the Lord to become a glorious church. Amen. So that our God would be satisfied and be glorified. May we all be such people. How about it if we all learn this gradually and read this slowly? Let the word of the Lord saturate our being. Pray. Say, Lord, we want to be such people. May the churches all over Southeast Asia prosper. We all have to ask of the Lord. The churches in Cambodia, we have to pray for them. Lord, may you prosper in the churches in Cambodia. May the Lord truly work in us. Tomorrow we'll get to the second group. Thank the Lord. Amen.